Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So you found that 82% of Australians believe climate action is important, but given the Coalition won the federal election in 2019 maintaining their limited climate policy, how relevant is climate change to Australians compared to how we're voting?
Well, that seems to be one of those important questions that's come out of this work. So one of the things that motivated us to do the research was all the discussion around the idea of the climate election before 2019. And so the implication of if the 2019 federal election was the climate election, the implication is that the climate election was lost. Mm. But our work, which suggests that most people didn't actually consider climate change when deciding their vote, would indicate that that may not be the case. But then it does raise the question that you've pointed to, which is, what will it take for people to vote based on climate change?
Well, I guess, what trends do you notice when looking at the people who prefer strong climate action as opposed to the way that they vote? Are there normal trends in the people who tend to vote for less climate action while saying they want more?
Yeah, it's a really important question. So what you're getting at is, what are the distinctions that we can see, or what are those sort of points of differentiation within the data? So we do have that figure around 80% of people say it's important for Australia to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But what we find is that there are differences in how important people think greenhouse gas emissions reduction is. And those differences tend to be along lines of political party preference. So we find people who vote for the Greens and the ALP will tend to, in general, be more likely to think it's important or extremely important that Australia reduces greenhouse gas emissions than people who vote for the Liberal Party, the Nationals, or the LNP in Queensland. We've also got a pretty strong signal from the level of education that people have as well, with more education predicting greater likelihood of thinking greenhouse gas emissions is important. And we found a signal of age as well, in a complicated way. So younger people in general will think it's more important to reduce emissions than older people. But when we ran our analyses that considered all these factors together, age didn't have any significant effect. And that's because age correlated so strongly with political preference anyway. So younger people voting more more progressive and older people voting more conservative. So while we've got this big majority of people who say it's important that Australia acts on climate change, we do start to see differences, and that political distinction is by far the most significant distinction that's coming through in the data.
Yeah.
But what's critical there is it's not a kind of binary support versus opposition distinction. It's in how important do people think it is that we act on climate change.
Yeah, well, your research touches on how people also generally aren't willing to sacrifice a whole lot of personal cost for climate action, despite 4 out of 5 Australians claiming it was of high importance. Do you think there's a need for a cultural shift where people are willing to sacrifice more for the sake of this action?
So if it is, I suppose there's a couple of kind of value statements to work through to answer that. So one of them is, if we want to stop climate change from being a problem, then we need to address it. And then one of the other statements is, if we're going to address it in ways that require people to make sacrifices, then we'll need people to be willing to make sacrifices. So in many ways, there will be cases where responses to climate change might involve changes to people's lives. So this could be big systems changes like taxes or levies or whatever it is that kind of get applied across the board, or it could be individual behaviour changes that come into effect as well, like our diet choices, our travel habits, once travel is a thing that people can do again or think about doing again. But one of the things that's really important is that the cost of inaction is substantially greater in the long run than the cost of action is in the short term.
Yeah.
So we're seeing impacts of extreme weather events that have had the likelihood of events like that happening increased because of climate change. And so if we're going to see more and more floods, more fires, more droughts, then we have to think about the cost of those impacts weighed up against the cost of taking action to cut emissions now. The fact that renewable energy is so affordable now means that in terms of our electricity system, there's a very viable alternative there to fossil-based energy that doesn't necessarily have to come at a massive cost to Australians.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that was particularly interesting to me talking with some friends off air when one of my producers, you know, presented me with your research was looking at how many of them didn't actually understand what, you know, voting for their member meant. For example, you know, a lot of my friends who voted Liberal thought that their local member was still taking a lot of action on climate change, whereas if you look at their voting record, it's the opposite. So with people's attitudes changing over time and party affiliations changing over time, as you mentioned, is the generational change going to be fast enough to accommodate the necessary action on climate change?
So, it's kind of an unanswerable question.
Yeah.
But if we're looking at how it is that attitudes are distributed across the population, what we can expect is that as more young people become of voting age, younger people tend to hold views that are more in line with what the scientific evidence tells us about climate change and hold views that are more committed to climate action than older people. So it's likely that that sentiment will become more widespread, more intense in the voting population. But it still leaves us with that question of, does that concern about climate change and thinking it's important lead to the willingness to make changes in one's life, whether that's day-to-day life, the systems in our lives, or our voting behaviour is another aspect.
Yeah.
What you mentioned about your friends is a really interesting point, and it also points us toward the need to really disentangle rhetoric from action.
Mm.
So that's where things get really complicated. In Australia, we've been stuck in these toxic politics that has been on this pretty simplistic line of, is climate change real versus is climate change not real? And that's actually a pretty easy debate to resolve in some ways, because the evidence is so overwhelmingly sitting with the science that's pointing towards human-induced climate change.
Yeah.
But once we get into questions about which policy is the best, that's so much more technical, and there are so many more variables and different assumptions. So do we say one policy is adequate enough, or is it being implemented in a way that's going to see the change happening soon enough? Are the targets that we've committed to kind of backed up by shorter term targets that will get us there by 2050, whatever it is that we're thinking about? So it does become a lot more complicated. And so you can have decision makers say, yes, we're committed to climate change, and that's well and good. That means we've moved out of this stage of institutional denial that we were in a decade ago. But then we've got to ask, but are they actually acting in line with what they're saying?
Alrighty. Well, Rebecca, it has been so lovely having you on the show. And of course, if there's any questions you have about Rebecca's work, we'll have links up on the podcast to the research itself so you can dig in a little bit more there. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for your interest, and good to talk to you.